comfortable.
I understand. There's no problem with room or any of that, sir. There's plenty of room and everybody can come and so forth. It's only a question of how much you complement the damn cabin.
Sure.
And that I'm a little concerned about. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll just cut some more off up here.
Well, he's got to have Mitchell, Sands, and McGregor for sure.
Mitchell, Sands, McGregor, and Dole.
And Dole, right.
Sure.
So there's...
But what I was thinking was this. As I had a little talk with Pete, I said something which I frankly was saying for other reasons. I said that I wanted him to sort of stay a little bit out of the politics thing, and that I was asking Stein to accept the name speeches, and I was asking Henry to. I said, no, John, I said, Irvin's in a little different position because he has to do some briefing and so forth. So I just wanted to get the position moved forward. I told him that under no circumstances should be considered something. It's very, very important, John, that we do, you know, for his protection, that we not get involved in anything that can be political. You'll have no problem. Henry has relatives, he has some. But Pete, for reasons that we're well aware, maybe he's going to get that part involved. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
I was absolutely trying to get Pete in there, and I don't think this is what we should.
Well,
what I was thinking was this. I don't think you have to have tenants, for example. I think you have to have Hall. But I don't think this is not for the purpose of dealing with. You see what I mean? The purpose of this is to talk about the cabinet's role. I mean, just brief them. I didn't hear the damn brief, but what did the deal with? Was it a rah-rah thing?
Yeah, McGregor started out, said we're going to have the greatest campaign. Malik got up and he had some charts and said, we've got to do certain things with groups and ethnics and this and that, and this is what we're doing. Magruder got up and said, we're going to have a media attack, and he said, this is our media approach, and here are our literature and our buttons and this and that.
Was congressional relations a subject, for example?
No.
Would it be here?
And then the youth guy got up.
Huh?
No, wouldn't be. And the youth guy got up and he said his piece. Now, there's another aspect of this that I've run in.
You can have all, or frankly,
well,
cut it down to a few.
We've asked Romney to fly back from Wilkes-Barre tomorrow to report to the cabinet in the meeting before you come in.
Good.
For the vice president presiding.
Cabinet, will he get here?
Well, if he doesn't, then it'll be Rogers presiding. But anyway, that pre-meeting before you show up. So there will be a little substance to that effect. He will be saying, I've been up there and I personally checked this. We sent him a hell of a rough memo signed by you, which is being put out. And he's being dispatched up there in the morning. He's canceled all his appointments. He thought he had an appointment with you tomorrow. We canceled that. Said that this was top priority as far as you were concerned, much more important than whether he had 700 new slots for mortgage applications. And his ears are just as red as they can be, but he's off and he'll be back to report tomorrow night. Well, he does now because we've shaken him today really hard. Well, he tended to play it down. Said the OEP told him everything was all right. So on.
Okay.
No, I've been taking some readings today, and it has not been handled intelligently up there.
Not surprised.
So there's that little
trusting
thing.
Just
no, I'm not arguing for that at all.
I understand. It isn't because I don't want.
I understand.
Take the blame as the damn cat, and we'll get a feeling of, you know, sort of togetherness and aloneness.
Well,
and that sort of thing. And
how about doing this? Maybe have it both ways. Supposing you were to have this cabinet meeting with these people or some of them sitting around the outside of the room for that part of it, and maybe intermingle them at the cocktail time, and then the staff goes over to some other place for their dinner, and you dine alone with the cabinet. I think that is perfectly satisfactory to the staff. I don't think that's a bit of a problem. You should have Ziegler there, obviously, for coverage.
Do you need Klein to?
No, you can avoid it.
Yeah.
The you know, he'll...
Incidentally, on this list, I think you would have to add Stein and Kissinger, don't you think?
Kissinger being there will complement the cabinet.
That's right. I meant, if you have the others...
Well, if you have the others, clearly you have to have them.
That's my point.
But if you have...
My view is I think if you don't have Stein and Kissinger directly, you shouldn't have you and Flanagan. That's my point. If you have substantive people, you either have substantive people or we don't.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. And if we're about to... Romney's going to make a report to the cabinet, but that's something else again. It doesn't make that much difference because I don't want to spend much time on that.
You have Malik, Magruder, and Reitz at the bottom of that list. Those are the fellows that put on the briefing. They have to attend the briefing, but they don't have to attend the dinner.
Well,
unless you want to draw on them, you know. For
no. Something. No, they really shouldn't. And neither should Butterfield.
Coal is strictly substantive.
You should. I don't see. Even though we think of you and Peter as being more political people, we have to realize that basically you, Flanagan, and Kissinger and Stein are basically all the same level as a sort of substantive men, right? One domestic council, the foreign affairs council, the security council, and the council of economic advisors. And you take Stein, when you look at the economic, and he is government important.
There's another...
Depends
on what you're after here. The thing that you run into
is
Ziegler puts out
who was there.
And that makes a difference to some of these birds in terms of their ability to operate. You're almost better off not to have anybody. Timmons has succeeded to McGregor's mantle. Well, I would say this, that you will probably have less difficulty internally if you had that group and no others than if you had a selection of various ones of this whole list mixed up. I mean, it'd be harder to justify it on the basis that some are political and some aren't, and that kind of thing, because everybody would have some quarrel with that.
Isn't it really hollow and early when Flanagan and Kissinger stand?
I guess so.
What do you do? I don't
know. And Ziegler would logically be included in that.
Yeah, Ziegler, you got Klein.
Yeah.
There you go. Right.
And so it's unraveled right off the bat.
The reason I raise this is only it's sort of a nice exercise because it does show you we do have a hell of a lot.
Yes, no question about it.
We just build on that. When you come right down to it, I really think when Bob first started this, we said there would be adequate. We would not lightly give up the position of assistant to the president. But we've given up awful about that, haven't we?
Well, no, actually, on this list, you've got one. You've got Bob and me and Peter. Those are the only ones that have that, and Henry, that's right, that have that, and then you've got Stein, who's sort of ex officio in that category. So it hasn't been much beyond that.
Well, he has amended, eager to improve relations with her. I just wish he could improve relations with her. If you only say she'd shut up on Vietnam.
Just drawing the line right under Haldeman's name. And you having dinner with the Kevin plus Haldeman, period. For him to be the note taker. Feed the others in another part of the place. If you get into some kind of a discussion.
Well, except for Mitchell Smith.
Well, that box, right, that box.
Because they're all...
That's right. They're sort of emeritus or in one way involved.
I wonder if that really isn't the best thing, to give them a crack at being solely there. And then, of course, we all are important meetings at once we have. When they're not present,
well,
we don't have a cabinet, let's face it, present for the major political things. This is their opportunity to have their, for them to yap around about their, what they want, about politics for once, without any staff people there. I think you've got a point, David.
If you can keep them on that. Now, Romney will want to hit you, clearly, on this employees thing. And there's no way to avoid that. You'll get a bite.
What do you want to say about
that? Well, you'll just have to duck or say, go see Weinberger here or fetch somebody out of the other room or something of that kind. But you could feed them in the conference room there, or you could feed them in the dining room and feed the staff over in the old Laurel or something like that.
I wouldn't have the other people present.
Oh, but you'll want them present, will you not, for the cabinet meeting itself?
Who? All these other people?
All these other people?
No,
I see. Okay.
No, sir. I mean that the other people are all members of the staff.
I get you.
All heard the damn briefing.
I get you. All right.
So I don't think there's anything.
All right.
I mean, why? There's another thing, too. They're all busy.
Mm.
You know, they really are. Everybody's here, so they've got to run up there and sit around here.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Well, then maybe we better reschedule Romney for a different way of reporting.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to report this.
Because that's sure to lead to all kinds of bloodshed. He's going to come back and criticize Department of Transportation or some OMB or something.
I think he's going to report to the Master Council. Agnew's there. Agnew's in charge of that, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, but we could say he is.
Well, then you are in charge. Why don't you just have the domestic council of it? I'm not going to sit down with him reporting to me on that damn thing.
He'll hit you on it, though. If he's there, if you're there, he'll hit you. I mean, it's just as sure as night as day. As a night today, but
can't
do it. Just can't.
No, I wouldn't have all the others. See, I think
I
the cabinet at one time. Perhaps just one of them ought to sit down. Well, I have some great people in there. I hadn't thought of that. That's a huge room. It seems about 40.
Yeah.
Boring.
This will be quite exciting because he'll have steam coming out of his ears. he'll have been the falsely accused maiden. But we can arrange to have him report some other way. We tell him that this is going to be a strictly political meeting and that the report should be held, that you're not going to be able to attend the political part of it. So we're going to postpone it. We'll have a different kind of reporting session. But he will undoubtedly hit you on his other thing, his appeal letter and so forth. And Haldeman can field that. If he's there, you can use him as a buffer.
Thank you. cabinet meeting about politics. So we're basically going to Camp David tomorrow, and they're going to listen to him, they're going to have dinner afterwards. If you'd like to, you're welcome, and everybody else. We'll have one, but it might sign, as our eyes are sure. And, but you mind telling Alex, I'll see that this future, sorry about it, I'll do it.
I'm sorry to take your time.
No, I just trying to get that scheme. In the future, and with you, and really talk to, I talked to Harlow, and I want to get him, so he doesn't have to bother with it. But Butterfield or somebody's got to take over this kind of cabinet, so that they can have a meeting without 30 people sitting around now. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Or do you?
I do.
I would much prefer.
There's a function for some of this staff.
I think what we have to do is to put it over in state.
Well,
you know, now wait, if Yeah, but look, when you look at for Peterson to come in and blab around with fire, he'd be over in state and be all out in the papers, and we'd screw that up.
And he has no subtlety. He likes to push papers around.
Pete Flanagan.
I've explained to him that when we conduct a negotiation, we use the State Department to give us the technical background, but we never tell them what's going on. I mean, you and I know, we haven't told them up to I haven't even told them that, that North Vietnamese made an offer to us.
I know.
And well, he just isn't settled with that.
Well, anyway, so that's where we've got it going now. They're going to study Europe. But Jesus Christ, that's the trouble. I mean, the White House staff couldn't be more loyal and hardworking and rest. And at the top level, we've got some superb people. But Henry, we've got too many people. I mean, Jesus Christ, we shouldn't have Ziegler and Klein and Scali and Moore. You know what I mean? All at the same level. So Jesus said, they all, do you see my point? I just believe that you do far better with one guy and working to death rather than have a whole damn group of guys who have access to the president. That's the point. Of course, I don't let them have access, and that makes them all unhappy.
Not take advantage of the Soviet withdrawal during the election period, and that they should not retaliate violently or anything of the kind, because we wouldn't understand that. She said simply as a person, we got an answer, as a personal assurance to the president, if we don't have a good bureaucracy, they want to tell us that they will take no drastic action, even under extreme provocation, during the election period. So we've got a practical assurance of quiet there.
Tell me this on the Japanese thing. You don't see us being able to come up with anything.
On this, I think we can come up with some general principles. And
trade mission or something.
I think we probably we can come up with something, but we won't have with an agreement to conclude a deal very shortly afterwards, so that we can just go back to the Tanaka meeting with Tanaka. We can't actually conclude it there because they don't want to bring Nakatomi. But I will have a better
deal. Yeah, but let's not bring along Flanagan.
No, we shouldn't. They don't want us to bring.
You know what I mean? I just don't want to overload our side.
They don't want that.
Not for Christ's sakes, Kennedy. We call him. Well, you remember, he
got
San Clemente.
I don't know.
We've done him. Yeah. Would you agree with that? Just not going to go. I don't. I am getting more and more concerned about the fact that we do so much better. We don't have a whole lot of big crowd that we have to crop around. But it's better to go shorthanded.
Would you let before? The things we've done in a small circle have worked. I've now worked out a rather complicated proposal for the notary and the meetings.
I thought your other one was complicated. I read
this one.
Not
a real book. I'll write it down and give it to you. I think I can tell you the few. My view, Mr. President, is this: if by the end of September they haven't settled, we ought to break off the talks. By that time, the government will have said enough and go public and say, this is all we've offered. And say they'll resume on November 9th. They're trying to take advantage of the election. And publish the whole record. And then we will have McGovern in a position where he would say, no, we want the imposition of a communist government. But you can consider that.
Sure.
My worry is that if we go on and on through October,
it's going to be a tough one for us. It's going to be tough in the sense that it's quite clear that they are beginning to try to develop the line. And the further we get away from May 8th, we find that the less that our support erodes for what we've done, because you know, you take a strong hand, people say, well, Jesus, we did this, and what the hell's happening? We're still fighting. We know it's succeeding.
But I think you can make an announcement at the end of August that we're going down to 15,000 by December 15th.
I think so.
Yeah, certainly to 20. So then you would have pulled out 530,000 troops. Casualties would be way down. My worry is that if we look ineffectual, whenever you look strong.
I know. Oh, I don't want to look ineffectual. What I'm saying is that their line is going to be the president's secret plan to end the war. What the hell is he at? We're still fighting.
He would say that they're.
That's what we have. But I know what they meant with the answer.
That their constant opposition and undercutting is ruining it.
Right.
Here are the plans we published. The only thing we haven't done is to put the communists into power.
You know, when you read through, for example, all of the talk you had with those bastards in Paris, and true, they made some, they moved here, and they moved here, and they moved there, and it was significant there, I agree. You know what I mean, with regard to trauma and the big state and so forth, I could see them, but when you finally came down to it, they didn't move an inch on one thing. And if those bastards want to win political victory,
they want us to do it for them.
That's right. That's right.
This is why
it just burns a mere pine table.
That proposal I be at September 24th anyway, before it's even apparent to us that there's a ceremony. So then we can decide then, in the light of the circumstances that exist. But if these talks fail, the question is whether we should drag it on and look ineffectual. One thing we could consider doing is, by that time, we can bet up out of the other that McGovern would have done set things that aren't together. If we could say we're not going to play with any more American lives in this period, we will resume talks on November 9th, 2 days after the election. But since we don't want innocent civilians to suffer, we are suffering the firing order of the 20th parallel until the talks resume. I'm just thinking out loud to take some of the except that that's a weak move rather than a strong.
I don't like it. I think stopping the bombing before was effective only because it gave an indication that there might be peace because talks were starting. This time we stopped the bombing for what purpose? It just looks like we're putting our tail between our legs. I don't think it'd be helpful. I really don't find it tough.
We can. Direct negotiations between Q and the BRG. Since they've already accepted that there'll be direct negotiations. Now, my view is, and that there has to be a ceasefire. My view is that the only thing then, that if they turn this down, when we've offered them cabinet seats in proportion to their vote, and a due resignation, and a commission of national reconciliation, and a new constitution, if they turn this down, what the hell is McKinley going to say in October? If we publish all of this, what else can we do? On the other hand, if they accept it, they'll be forced into a negotiation with Hugh, and if he can't screw it up through October, I have no confidence, you know. He's devious enough to keep that negotiation going for a month. And then we should presume, after the election, if those negotiations break down, and say, well, and just go back to your May 8th proposal and take the dikes and everything. So far, the driver talks have gone at the maximum speed that one could expect. If they settle for anything but a communist government, that's a tremendous chance for them. Just let's get it over with. And I agree with that too.
I think so. hasn't got it. I saw his speech now today. He looks off. Soft. He looks handsy. That Liberace voice. Well, we'll find something to do, let's say. But I just want to, I'm on with Conley. I don't want to do anything that's frankly tricky or devious or weak. But we got to live, let's face it, of course, we're going to have to live much. But when you really come down to it, the cost might be too great to sell these people out.
But Conley said, and I think it's a good point, he said, the best strategy is to do what's right. Because if we are caught having made a trick proposal and having played politics with it, you lose your moral position completely.
And we can take some attrition and people to worry about the war and when we got over and all that. We're likely to come to a point 1 week here we'll have no casualties due. I think that's going to come. You didn't bring more in, you decided not to.
No, because they were really doing all the things they were, and I didn't feel that we should save that at all.
I didn't think he was screwing us. Sure hard to have confidence in us. He really did. We've given him everything. We're mining. We're bombing the North. Jesus Christ.
I just don't think they're doing the bombing. I'm out there, I'm going to tell you what Johnny walked into the woodshed and I'm trying to tell him, God damn it.
Well, they've got all the power. Why the Christ don't they use it?
Exactly.
What about, what about the 52s and so forth? They ought to be, are they farting around too, or are they getting themselves?
That's the one weapon they're using, right?
You know, it's so shameful. These sons of bitches on the other side, the way they're squealing about the dikes. God almighty, I mean, it's so damn shameful.
Well, not one of them has as yet shown one even minor little blood.
That is what God does.
Just resume the goddamn.
send us a note or something like that, saying what effect it's had. I think, I'll tell you what the American people need to hear now, that what we have been doing is effective some way. Somebody's got to say that. The North Vietnamese don't like to hear that, but somebody else has got to say it. Can't Bunker say that? Can anybody say that?
Oh, absolutely.
It has been effective.
We might consider bringing Bunker over to Hawaii while you're there, briefly.
And good idea.
I ought to meet him if you're there.
And, well, I'll meet him. We'll just do that. That makes Hawaii there much more worthwhile. Bring Bunker over there, and how about Wyatt, too?
Well, I don't know whether we should have that makes it too much of a mistake.
But bring Bunker over for a report. It looks as if it was...
Also, if you bring Wyatt, you'll get later than I did.
Oh, Christ, yes. But bring Bunker. We've got Rogers there anyway. Is he going to bring his foreign minister tonight?
Yeah.
He's left. So, it's fine.
Thank you.